I hope that you guys can bear with me today or tonight. My voice is gone. Didn't Pastor Leon, I was at the back when he started preaching. What an anointing. What a man of God. What a father of this house. And we just honor him in this night. And I don't take it lightly. Just gonna give you guys a principle in this night that you can take home. That's gonna change your life. God is all about principles. And in this night, I just want to honor Pastor Leon de Pria, my spiritual father, Pastor Esty de Pria, and I just want to thank them for the opportunity that I have to minister unto you. Do you know that you are exceedingly precious to Pastor Leon? Do you know that he prays for you? Do you know that he fasts for you? Do you know that he has a vision for you? And I just want to bring a short word, and then we're going to pray. You guys don't have to look that depressed. It will be over soon. All right. Our topic tonight is the prayer that moves God. And I'm going to basically just lay a foundation. And when you guys walk out of this place, I hope that you know how to pray. I hope that you know how to summons heaven. I hope that you know how to get the attention of heaven and to bring that what is in eternity down to the realm of time. Are you ready? One of the keys to access open heavens. What is our theme for this year? It's open heavens. So one of the keys to access open heavens, it's going to be to take your prayer life to the next dimension. We're not going to go levels this year. We're going to go dimensions. I hope that you can understand this. This year, 2018, will mark the year of the praise of ECC. For in this year, we will summons God. We will summons heaven. We will get the attention of heaven. We will bring that what is in eternity right back into the realm of time. And we're going to change this nation. The Queen of Scotland, she said, I do not fear anything but the praise of John Knox. When John Knox put his feet on Scotland, she started shaking. May South Africa say in this night that they do not fear anything but the praise of the intercessors of ECC. Amen. Let's give God the biggest praise. May we come together tonight and may we set the standard. May we set the boundaries. For this is a new year. I tell you now that the time where the devil has set the boundaries is over. For God said that we are the chosen. We are the chosen people that will determine where the tent pins are. And I tell you now tonight, we're going to move these tent pins. And I hope that you are ready. Because South Africa will rise because of a people that starts to pray. The prayers that you pray today will determine your placement and your position in the future, in the days to come and in the years to come. The prayers that you pray today is going to determine the outcome of tomorrow. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to set your tomorrow. Tell your neighbor, tomorrow I will be different. You will not recognize me because I will pray. I will change my future through the words that comes out of my mouth. I will change the future of my sons. I will change the future of my daughters, and I will change the future of this church. Are you ready? All right, are you ready to write down? People that are focused, write stuff down. People that are serious, write stuff down. You are allowed to write it on your phone. This is 2018. I am technologically a bit behind. Ask Lloyd. A Mac will stay an Apple to me. All right. I want you guys to write down these 5 points as we just start and lay a foundation. First point, prayer is the lifeline of a believer. Write that down. Prayer is the lifeline of a believer. Number two, it is a vehicle that carries the original intent of God from eternity to the realm of time. So what happens? God is not restricted by time or matter. All right, we are restricted by time and matter. If I now want to walk through this wall, it's not going to happen. So this is my restriction, and time is my restriction. But God is in a different kingdom. He is in a kingdom that's not restricted by matter or time. And what happens? The moment that you pray, you take the promises of God out of eternity, and you bring it into the realm of time. So prayer is the vehicle that will bring the original intent, every promise that God had for you before the foundations of the earth. The original intent was not for you to suffer. The original intent was not for you to be in poverty. The original intent was for you to walk with God. So if you pray, it will bring the original intent of God that is in eternity down to you now. Adam wasn't living in the future. Adam was living in the now. If Adam lived in the future, he would have seen the fall of man. But he was living in the now. So what did God do? Jesus Christ came to restore the now. He came so that you can take what is in the future and bring it to the now. That means that you do not have to live in poverty. That means that you do not have to suffer. That means that nothing on this earth should make you subject to its ruling. Are you with me? So prayer is the vehicle. Prayer is the vehicle that will bring those promises into your now. Number three, prayer executes on the earth the traditional dimensions of heaven. Can I say it again? Prayer executes on the earth the traditional determinations of heaven. God's original intent for you. If you're going to start praying, it's going to take you to a new dimension. It's going to take you to a new level that was the original intent of what God has for you. Are you ready to start praying? All right, number four. It carries out the executive decisions of eternity. God is making decisions in heaven. And if you want to bring that decision down into your now, you better start praying. Are you excited to start praying? I hope that you are hungry already to start praying. Number five, prayer gives God the authority to act on your behalf. Without prayer, we deny God the right to act on our behalf. What does this mean? Is God not God that He can make any choice? Is God not God that He can come into your situation at any time? The Bible says this. God is not the God of this world. Jesus said, yes, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Paul said, call him the prince of the power of the air. Paul says, the God of this world has blinded the minds. And Satan said in Luke 4, he said to Jesus, the kingdoms of this world I will give unto you. So who is the ruler of this world? So God has no jurisdiction on this earth. Because he says this, I have given the earth to the sons of men. That means that God has given you the jurisdiction on this earth. If you start praying, it activates God. It gives him the right to act on your behalf. If you do not pray, he doesn't have a right to come into your situation. Jacob wrestled with God. Why did God not prevail? Why did the angel not win? Because he didn't have jurisdiction on this earth. But you have the jurisdiction. And I hope that when you open your mouth, that you summons heaven and that you get the attention of God, that he will come out of eternity into your now, and that he will act and interrupt every satanic suggestion, and that he will interrupt every enemy of yours, and that he will overwin, that he will make judgment on your behalf. For if you do not pray, the judge of this world, the judge, the ultimate judge, God, cannot intercede for you. He cannot act for you. He cannot come into your life and do anything, because he said, I have given this earth to the sons of man. Are you going to take the earth? Are you going to take the earth? There will be a divine invitation when you pray. There is a divine invitation for everything that is spiritual. Everything and every promise, every spiritual promise to come in line with your world. And he can act and oppose Satan on your behalf. Are you still with me? Are you guys still alive? All right, we're just talking about prayer. Tonight we are gathered here as a heavenly parliament to make divine legislations and decrees for the promises that God has for your life, for your future, and for ECC. You set the legislation over your life. If you're going to start praying what God said you can say, that God said over you who you are, you determine and you decree what happens in your life. May South Africa not be determined by the unrighteous people in Parliament, but by the intercessors of this church. May we set and determine what happens in this country, because we have the backup of heaven. He said that he is the heavenly host. He is the host of the heavenly army. That means that when you start praying, somebody is getting the attention of heaven, and you have the backup of a heavenly army. Are you ready to pray, ECC? 2 Chronicles 7 says this, and it's a very, very, very familiar scripture. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We stand to reason that those who pray and seek God's face are the humble. If you show me somebody that is prideful, I'll show you somebody that doesn't pray. If there's pride in your life, maybe you should ask yourself, when last did I seek his face? When last did I pray? If you have a problem with pride, humble yourself and pray. For the humble prays, and they will inherit their land. Because prayer is a declaration that the creation sends out and say that I need a creator. When I pray, I go to God and I say, God, I am nothing without you. But if you are prideful, you know that you think that by self-righteousness you have made it. But the humble will pray. If you need some humbleness in your life, get on your knees and pray. For it will make you humble. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Tell your neighbor, diligently seek him. Proverbs 13 says this, for the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. If you have nothing, maybe you should ask yourself, are you a sluggard? You know that David prayed and he said that a slumbering spirit comes upon my enemy. Don't let the slumbering spirit take over, but in diligence seek his face. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does diligence mean? And the dictionary goes as far as this. It says, it describes, it is as doing something or giving yourself to something in such a way that it seems that you are possessed. Are you possessed with prayer? Are you so possessed with praying and seeking His face that people think you are crazy? I'm going to tell you guys this one story. David Oyedepo, we've got his books at the back. I don't know if you guys know him. He's such a man of God. He prays and the anointing is so on him. So what happens is this lady comes to him. Well, this lady has insects that follows her everywhere that she goes. If she gets in the car, the insects are there. If she goes home, the insects are there. Kom ons sê nou maar soos 'n vlieg of soos 'n muggie, just. So everywhere that she goes, if she goes into the shop, they are there. So she drives to the church. And this goes on for very long. So she drives to the church. When she gets at the gate, the insects stop and they wait for her. So she walks into the church. She tells him what's happening. And he said, no, but I don't believe you. Come and show me the insects. And as he walks towards the gate, the insects move further and further and further away. If you are a people that prays, believe me that even the insects will be subject to the Christ inside of you. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, never give up. Paul says, pray without ceasing. May you get so hungry. May the spirit of prayer and supplication come upon you in the night. And may you seek His face. May you not know why you want to seek His face. May you pray like a crazy person. I declare and I decree that. All right. Are you guys ready with prayer? Do you know what prayer is? Do you know where we're going? Do you know where you are going? Pastor Leo knows where you are going. All right, I want to just read you guys. We're going to now look at one principle. I'm going to just teach you guys one principle of prayer. There's a lot of prayer principles, but this is one principle that stands out. The power of persistence. Tell your neighbor, the power of persistence. James 5 verse 16 says this. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It's in the Amplified. It says this. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. If you want a prayer that is dynamic and have tremendous power, you have to look at persistence. Why is persistence so important? That word dynamic means forceful power. It means an energy. If your prayer doesn't have energy, if your prayer is not forceful, that means that this thing is stagnant. But if I'm going to hit it, it's going to have motion. That energy, that's what that word is talking about. The energy that this thing has when I hit it. If your prayer doesn't have that energy, that energeo, you need some persistence. I want us to put on the board Isaiah 62. All right, wait with it. I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 62 says this, I've posted watchmen on the walls, Jerusalem. Day and night they keep at it, praying, calling out. They are to give him no peace until he does what he says. Until he makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. Day and night, day and night, day and night. Until. Keep on praying. The word there, I'll tell you guys that now. God is so adamant for people to pray and to act on your behalf. Because if people don't pray, He cannot act. So that He put the watchers there so that they can pray day and night. So that they can call unto Him until Jerusalem heeds. Until Jerusalem shouts out and prays. God says there's something about persistence. God says there's something about persistence. Persistence is the key. That's going to bring energy. That's going to bring tremendous power into your prayer life. Benny, you can put this on Luke 18 verse 1. And this is what God says about persistence. I'm almost finished. Just hang in there. Luke 18 verse 1. And then He spoke a parable to them. That men always ought to pray and not lose heart. 2 saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Let by her continual coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth? God is talking about somebody that was persistent. And he said that if you're going to be persistent in prayer, something's going to happen. So what is the opposite of persistence? Giving up. Discouragement. So you can only have one or the other. If you're not persistent, you have given up. If you are not persistent, you are living in discouragement. If you are not praying, you have given up. If you are discouraged, it is because you are not praying. You can either do one or the other. You can either pray in persistence, or you can decide that this is not working and stop praying. You need to be persistent that God gives you justice just so that you can stop keeping him awake. You need to outwit, outplay, and outlast your enemy. I hope that you heard that. You need to outwin, you need to outlast, you need to outpray your enemy until Jerusalem shouts out and prays. So why persistence? Why cannot God, when you pray once, answer you? Why did God put the word persistence in the Bible? And he's persistent about it. I'm going to give you guys a couple of points. First of all, if you are persistent in prayer, it keeps your attention on God. The greatest gift that you can give somebody is your attention. David gave God his attention and he said, my eyes are ever towards the Lord. What this woman did is she recognized the authority that can change things in our life. If you are persistent in prayer, you recognize the authority that can change certain things in your life. If you give up and you do not persist, you recognize that God cannot do whatever you are seeking. Number 2, persistent prayer tests your desire. If you started off in a carnal state, and you only pray once about it, how much did you want it? What was that desire really deep within you? Was that desire really worth fighting for? So God says that I will give you the deep desires of your heart. You might start off carnal and you might be persistent. By the end of your prayer and by the end of a year, your whole desire, the whole reason why you started praying might have changed. You might have wanted a car and you start to persist in prayer. And by the end of your prayer, you only want God. You only want to seek his face. It reveals the desires of your heart. You might start off carnal. You might start off in the flesh. But if you persist, God will reveal the deep things, the deep desires. The Bible says that those desires are the desires that he has placed in your heart. Don't lose heart. You need to get to those desires because your flesh is not going to profit you. The desires of your flesh and the carnal flesh will not profit you. It will come to nothing. But persist because you will find the deep desires inside of you. Persistent prayer shows you believe that God will give you breakthrough. Will God find faith on this earth? He says, when I come, will I find faith? Will I find somebody that persists, that knows that you have something that I need? You have the breakthrough that I need. You have the healing that I need. And if you persist, you show God that you have faith. you have faith for something. Other people might think you're crazy. Other people might think, why is this woman still praying? It's not working. But God knows. But God knows that He has the answer. He knows. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you persist and pray, you are pleasing God. You have faith that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come down from eternity, and that He will come into your time, into your now, and that He will change everything about you. Persistent prayer grows us in understanding and in illumination. Who wants wisdom? Everybody wants wisdom. The covenant that God made with Abraham was based on seeing. As far as you can see, I will give to you. How persistent are you to get illumination? How persistent are you to receive wisdom? How persistent are you that your eyes will be opened and that you might see? Because what you see, you will be able to get. All right, Benny, you can go to Isaiah 62, verse 6. We're almost finished. All right, it says this: I have posted watchmen on the walls, Jerusalem. Day and night, you keep it at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember. They are to give Him no peace until He does what He says, until He makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. So the literal meaning of that word call or calling is those who remind the Lord. The modern Hebrew talks about a secretary. Who's got secretaries? A secretaresse. I know my English ain't that good. A secretaresse. Who's got somebody like that? Anybody? Misha. So what does a secretary does or do? She reminds the employer of appointments that is recorded in his calendar. You better start reminding God of every promise that He has in His calendar for you. And He says day and night, remind Him. Have the intercession of a secretary. It's in the Bible. It says there that the intercessor of a secretary, her responsibilities will be to remind God. Come before Him day and night with persistence and tell Him that in His calendar it stands that you should bless me. In His calendar it stands that you should visit me. In His calendar it stands that you will reward me. One of the most powerful for me, you might have a different version or revelation, but the most powerful word for me in the Bible is the word remember. Being persistent in reminding God. How are you going to be persistent? Jy gaan soos 'n sekretaresse daar sit en klop and say, God, you need to bless me. This is my promise. This is my vision. Every dream that I've written on that envelope, this is what you promised me. When will I see you coming through? And you persist in reminding God of what He has said. Isaiah says this, put me in remembrance. So this is how Elijah reminded God. In 1 Kings, you don't have to go there, 1 Kings 18. He's on the mountain, on Mount Carmel. I hope that's right. And then these guys have cut themselves, they have called upon their God, and now it's Elijah's time. And James says that Elijah was a normal man like us. He didn't walk on water. He also used toilet spray in the toilet. He was a normal guy like you and me. But this guy prayed a prayer. One simple prayer. Very simple. And he said this, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Why was he calling upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He was announcing the covenant that God made with Abraham. He was announcing that somewhere in history, God pitched up and showed himself as El Shaddai, as Jehovah Jireh to Abram. And he said, I call upon that God. I call upon El Shaddai. I call upon the God of Abram, of Isaac, and of Jacob. God appeared to Abram as El Shaddai. It means the God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. Because of the covenant that he made with Abram, Elijah was able to stand on that mountain and pray. If Abram didn't have a covenant with God, Elijah wouldn't be able to stand on that mountain and slay the prophets of Baal. And he knew that somewhere God made a promise and a covenant. And he was announcing and accounting the victories that Abram, Isaac, and Jacob already had. He called upon the name of Isaac. Isaac means laughter, it means joy. God blessed Isaac. Isaac's whole life was to open the wells of his father. Isaac sowed a seed in famine, and he reaped a hundredfold. And Elijah knew that if Isaac can reap a hundredfold, I am calling on the God of a hundredfold, that he will bless me. Jacob's enemies became his friends. God's grace was upon him. He says, put me in remembrance. Do you know your God? Do you know your God? If you're going to put him in remembrance, what are you going to put him in remembrance of? Do you know his name? Call upon his name. He is Eliyahun, the Most High. He is Jehovah Nissi, my banner. When I am at war, he said, put my banner in the middle of that war and show the enemy that I have already won. For I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the banner over you. If the devil looks at you, he says that I have already won. That this banner has a resemblance and the smell of my blood. It has the voice of a king. Jehovah Ra, Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there. He is there. If you feel that God is not there, call upon him. Call upon Jehovah Shammah. If you know that your children are going somewhere, call upon him so that he will already meet them when they get there. Because he is the Lord that is there. He is Jehovah Mkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. He is Elohim. He's the judge. He's the creator. He is God. He is Kwana. He is a jealous God. If the enemies come against you, you call upon him, the God of Kwana, and you say, Lord, become jealous on my part. Become jealous on my part. You are my deliverer. You are the honey that comes out of the rock. Your name is a strong tower that I can run into. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, you put a pillar of fire and a pillar of a cloud there in the day. You can do it for me. Remind God. Tell your neighbor, remind God. The power of remembrance. Say it again, the power of remembrance. That is exactly what King Solomon did. He said to God, now, O God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. You go on your knees and you pray. Let the promises that you made to Pastor Leon de Prayer, let it come to pass. He is your spiritual father. Let the promises that God made to the generation before you, let it come to pass. I'm going to just end with this. God was very, very disappointed in the human race. En hy was baie spyt dat hy mense gemaak het. And he decided to take them out by a flood. And he was very angry. So he put Noah in a boat. And as Noah came out, he did this. I just want to get the verse there. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. He was angry, but one man created a moment. One man created a moment for God to repent. He created a moment by a sacrifice that was a sweet smell in God's nostrils. And this is what God said. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. This man created such a moment for God that he decided to put something in the clouds to remind God himself of the covenant that he has made with man. God is so passionate about reminding that he himself put certain things in the clouds to remind himself of the covenant. How much must you remind him of the covenant that he has made with the blood of Jesus Christ? Now you're going to ask yourself, what can I put there? Because we don't do and make altars. But David said this, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. You can create with your prayer a sweet smell to God that will remind him of every covenant that he has made, every promise that he has made over your life. There are going to be times when you think God isn't listening, when we think it's over, when we think that God doesn't care, but God is listening. God is working. I want to encourage you to persist in prayer. It's going to change you. It's for you. It's not for God to change his mind. God knows exactly where you're going. Persistent prayer is for you. It's to change you. The vision for this year is open heavens. And this is what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians. He says this, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are going to be many adversaries. There's going to be open heavens. But know that there will be many adversaries. And by prayer and by persisting to remind God of the promises that he has given of an open heaven, you can change the future of this year. I hope that you are ready. I hope that you are hungry. I hope that you can take something home and start praying like mad people and change everything about you.